Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Whisker Report. We are a podcast dedicated to helping anyone in the pet industry. Whether you're in animal welfare or a for-profit pet company, get some PR and buzz for your nonprofit or business. I am Alexandre Carr, one of the hosts of the show. My co-host Maritan is not here today because she's taking her cat Franklin to a modeling gig. So this week it's just myself and our fabulous producer Mark Winter, Pet Life Radio, who is the man who gets us to you each and every week. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Alex. Oh, so Mary's hiding out this week, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, Franklin needs to pay the bills too, so...
Putting the cat to work.
I know. She was like, Alex, I gotta work, so it's okay. I can do it. I'm able.
You're able. I mean, I'm excited because we're having a brand new podcast that's going to be starting called Saving the Streets.
I wonder who's behind that.
With a great host, which is you. So we're excited about that. That's going to be starting soon.
Yeah, it will be a podcast only about TNR and rescuing cats. So just a bit different than this one, but I'm very excited for it. Thank you, Mark.
Oh, yeah, we're excited too. Even though saving is spelled with two A's, I don't understand why, but you'll explain that, I'm sure.
You'll understand. You know, we're so honored to be part of the Pet Life Radio Network, and we're here to show you that you can do PR for yourself, and we are here to help you every week. And today, we have a special guest. We have a great artist with us on the show, Lisa Hernandez, the woman behind Lisa Works. Lisa started as a book illustrator, and she now has her own cat illustration business. And I actually own a couple of her prints. So the inspiration behind her prints is a cat called Nigel, and Nigel looks exactly like my cat. So that's why I own so many prints. Lisa also just had her first cat show, Space Cats in Florida, and I want to hear all about it. So hi, Lisa. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Alex. Hi, Mark. Thank you so much for having me today.
We're so happy you're here. So tell us a bit about yourself.
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean... there's a lot. So over the years, I've always made art, and my career, my background was in graphic design and has been for many years. And I've worked in the publishing industry, newspapers, magazines, books, things like that over many years. And back in, I would say, the mid-2010s, so somewhere around 2014 or 15.
Yeah.
I just started doodling more and more cats and illustrating more and more cats. And at the same time, I was also looking into just expanding my freelance business in illustration and design, which was the Lisa Works entity. And somewhere, my love of cats and my art just kind of started melding together. And back in, I think it was then kind of approaching 2017, I'd heard about a cat convention that was happening in New Jersey. I was living in New Jersey at the time, called the Catsbury Park Cat Convention, which was run by the Catsbury Park Cat Cafe, which is in Asbury Park, New Jersey. And I saw the advertisement for it. I was like, oh, this sounds really fun. Like, I want to go. What is a cat convention? I want to go to a cat convention. And then I saw they had a call for vendors. And I had just recently published at the time a children's book called Catnapped. And so I was like, oh, maybe I should get a booth as a vendor and do office signing and maybe sell some prints. I had a few pieces of cat art as well at the time. And so I just kind of went out on a limb, really, and took that leap of faith. And honestly, I've never looked back since. It was a huge success. I sold out of all my prints in the first day. I had to go home that night and print more, which was amazing. And so I tried it again the following year just to see whether or not that was a thing, and had equal success. And then that's kind of began my cat convention career. So since then, pandemic aside, I've been traveling to different cat conventions, whether it be in the Midwest or on the East Coast, or I also do CatCon out in LA. And I just make stickers, print artwork. I have the plushie of Nigel now, keychains, you know, all those kinds of things. But it's all based on my illustrations. And I go to these cat conventions as a vendor. And that's sort of where, you know, that kind of developed and evolved. Then the pandemic happened, and the only thing that was really occurring during the pandemic was CatCon From Your Couch, which was an online event. I participated in that 2 years in a row. And then as we were coming out of the pandemic, and they were the first to do their in-person show again, and I was out there in LA for that. But what I noticed that was happening was everything was starting to open up, but not on the East Coast, not in New York, not in New Jersey. You know, it was, and it, that went by 2022, 23. Even when I was started to reach out about in early 24, there were no plans with Cat Camp, which is Jackson Galaxy's one, Meow DC, which happens down in DC. Like, and even at the early in 2023 or 24, Catsbury too, what hadn't had plans at the time.
I wonder why. Do you know why?
I just don't know if anybody felt ready enough, or perhaps they just had moved on to other things. I'm not really, no one really gave me an answer. But then I talked more with DJ up at Catsbury Park, Dean Bornstein there. And so he and I decided, what if we tried something, you know? And so he wanted to revive the Catsbury Park Cat Convention up in New Jersey. And since the pandemic, I had moved south to Florida. And I said, well, maybe I could try something down here.
Yeah.
And I live on Space Coast, which is on the east side of Florida, near the Kennedy Space Center and NASA, you know, and all of that. So we sort of joined forces to announce these two events. And I decided to name the one down here Space Cats. It made sense. And
okay,
I just thought
I get
it'd be really
now.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, that's kind of where it all started, really.
Yeah, well, that's amazing.
I'm so happy for you, and I can't wait to hear all the details, but we do have to take a quick break to pay for this show, so we'll be back in a second.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with Lisa Hernandez. So
I'm so happy to hear about Space Cats, and I was wondering where the name was coming from. So thank you for explaining that.
So how was the turnout of the event? Were you happy with it?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, you know, planning a public event like this, and I want to be clear too, this was a cat convention, not a cat show. So we didn't have people bringing cats to be judged or anything like that. It really is about awareness and education and sort of just improving and enriching the lives of your feline companions, or helping in the community with the feral cat community population and things like that too, whether it's rescue, adoption, fostering, TNR, all those things. And so we had a great turnout. I mean, for a first event, which is nerve-wracking because you just don't know who's going to show up, right?
Yeah.
And we probably had around, I would say it was about 800 people over the course of the 2 days. A little more on the Saturday. It was a little busier on the Saturday than the Sunday. But for a first event that, you know, we did a little PR and a little marketing, but not a ton.
Yeah.
I think that was great. I mean, I couldn't have asked for better, honestly.
That's so amazing. And I've seen that. I mean, you know, I've heard about you a lot in the community from, you know, Kate Benjamin from House Panther. She raves about you. I know Kayla and Nick absolutely love you from Surfer Cat. Nathan and Sterling also. Like, I only hear good things about you. So I'm really glad we have this chat today. But I also know that it was very important for them to show their support and to come to your show. So I was just wondering how important it was for you to have them, like, as influencers. And do you think it did bring a crowd?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first of all, let me say that I could not have pulled this off without the help of certainly Kate, for sure. She and I met at CMEOW a couple of years ago, and we hit it off instantly, and we've become great friends. And she has this type of event experience. And so I have business planning event experience, but not public. So we kind of joined forces a little bit, and she really did help, was very instrumental in some of the smaller details that perhaps I wouldn't have thought about necessarily. She also helped talk me off, you know, like it'll go a little stressful at times. So she was great to just say, okay, here's what we're going to do. Here's the plan. But yeah, honestly, if it wasn't for Kate, Benjamin, Nathan, Sterling, Nick and Kayla at Surfer Cat, Laura Lee, who was one of our other speakers, and Ellen Carosa, who is the Cat LVT, you know, and if it wasn't without that support, and that just is a testament to this community that we're in with the Cat community, and these people that I know or have met or have become friends with over the last few years, then it just wouldn't have been the success that it was for an inaugural event. They all took, and including the vendors too, and the staff and the volunteers, everybody just showed up. And with this belief in the event, I remember Kayla telling me, we want to help. We believe in this event. We want to support you. And it really brought a tear to my eye, because it just goes to show in this Cat community that we're a part of, how much everybody cares, because this wasn't about me. And to a certain extent, it really wasn't about the event Space Cats itself. It was about bringing the community together of cat lovers, cat experts, cat advocates, and really broadening and expanding that community so that we can build together and just continue to help our feline companions in all these different capacities. And that's the passion, right? That's what everybody has. It's all for, I keep saying this, but it's all for the love of cats. Yeah, and yeah, absolutely. They were instrumental in helping bring the people out. They helped get the word out. They helped me with Kate especially helped me with some of the organization, or a lot of the organization.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely a team effort, and it paid off. It really did.
I'm so happy to hear that. I was watching all of their stories to see what was happening, because I couldn't make it.
Yeah, I had to take a couple of days off after I broke my ankle. And so it was done, I had to take a couple of days off and just kind of rest and decompress a little bit. But
of course,
I'll get back on the social to do all the highlights and stuff this weekend, which I'm excited. Yeah. We took a lot of pictures, a lot of videos. So, you know.
That's good. It's good content to promote it for next year.
Absolutely. Yes.
So talking about promotion, how did you promote Space Cat? Like, what were your first steps into promoting a first cat event?
Well, I live in the Instagram space. My LisaWorks account is that's how I connected with all these cat community friends and whatnot. So it started there for me. And when I decided I was going to try my hand at doing this event, I reached out to a lot of my fellow vendor friends who are also on the circuit. And I said, this is my idea. What do you think? And they all just went, yes, do it. Go for it. And so I didn't do a ton at the beginning, because I was spent more time behind the scenes trying to find venues and then get those speakers organized and figure out all those kinds of, you know, logistics and details. And originally, Space Cats was meant to happen in October. At the end of October, we got hit with a couple of hurricanes. There was a lot of devastation, certainly due west of where the convention center is over near Tampa. And it didn't sit right with me that we hold this cat convention 2 weeks after all these catastrophic events were happening. And so, you know, thankfully the convention center worked with me and we were able to push it back to January. And it did work out to be a blessing in disguise for many reasons, because we were able to get a few more vendors and we were able to promote it a little bit more. So with the help of Whisker Media and sending out some press releases, you know, putting those together, doing a little bit on social, and then starting the account for Space Cats on Instagram as well, Space Cats Florida, having all those fellow vendors and speakers sharing it as well into their stories and me resharing it, that definitely brought some good traffic. that way. And then with the press releases sending out to local news outlets and media, we got some good coverage. But I will say most of the sort of the PR things didn't really start to happen until closer to the date of the event. And I think that's typical with event planning, right? It's like,
yeah,
if you're doing it 4 months prior or 6 months prior, you're not going to get much of a response because it's too soon, it's too early. And a lot of times, especially with these public events like this, some people decide on the fly, oh, yeah, we've got nothing to do this weekend, let's see what's going on locally.
Yeah.
Like that. What I did do was I ran a Facebook ad campaign the week before the event.
Okay,
and
yeah,
that was great. Like we had little to no budget for marketing and advertising, I guess you could say. So we had to get a little creative with it. And again, thanks to the support of everybody involved to get that word out. Two things that I did. One was I did get some flyers printed. And I just literally drove, before I broke my ankle, I just drove around pet groomers and veterinarian offices and pet shops, like, you know, mom and pop stores and
yeah,
coffee shops and things like that. And she said, hey, is it okay? Can I put a batch of flyers
yeah
out? Like, oh, yeah, this is so great, you know. So that was good. I did, I think it was like 1,000 flyers, a couple of $100 to print them and just.
That's amazing because you're going to the community. So
yes,
you're trying to reach the community. So that's very good. That's one of the best advice we can give.
Yeah, yeah. Kate helped. She could have done an Catfest last year. And she said that was one of the things that helped with when she was marketing her event too. And so, you know, I thought, all right, let's give it a try. I mean, pound the pavement, as they say, right? So it's just getting out there and getting into the community and putting posters up and flyers. And at first I felt a little uncomfortable because I go, oh gosh, is anybody going to want to do that for me? Like put a stack of flyers out. Everyone was great. They're like, yeah, of course. Oh, this sounds like so much fun.
Well, of course, a cat event. Like people love it.
Yes. And a lot of the groomers that I went to were mostly dog groomers, but a lot of their dog clients have cats as well. So you just got to get a little creative and think slightly outside of the box. You know, don't let the idea that, oh, well, it's a dog groomer that they don't know cat people. Everyone knows cat people, right?
Exactly.
So
yeah.
So we did that. And then the Facebook campaign, I just ran it for a week prior. I think next year I might do it maybe 10 days to 2 weeks prior.
Yeah.
Because we did get some good traction with it. I think we got a reach of about 45,000 accounts.
That's amazing.
Within a, you know, a 50 to 100 mile radius of the event. So that was more effective. That actually surprised me. That was more effective than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I'm not surprised because I do see a lot of events on Facebook and sometimes I decide last minute, oh, I should go to that. So
yeah,
that's really good. And also one thing you mentioned about PR, I definitely advise people when they have an event to just send the press release maybe like 10 days to a week prior, but not beforehand, because, you know, journalists are so busy. If they see the date is not like in the like in the coming days, they just forget about it. So you will get coverage like right before the event, but that's what you need to expect.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny because I was going to ask you this question about when, so for me, it was all about an event, right? And just sort of promoting that event and marketing that event. We did a little bit. You know, now that we've gone through the first year, it's like ready for next year, what I want to do with that one. What makes a sort of an effective press release? Because is it, you know, are we looking to just promote the event? Does there need to be a lifestyle human interest aspect to it? I know with one press release I did was really about my journey and how I've gone from artist to vendor to founder of a convention, you know,
yeah,
and sort of just the journey that I took to get to that point. Like, tell me, like, what do you think makes an effective press release, especially for small businesses?
Yeah, so it's definitely storytelling. You can't just send a press release just to promote your product. It's not going to work because it's not newsworthy. So what I tell people is that in the first sentence, you should answer the question, why should anyone care? So I think you telling your whole story is really good because, you know, you're like, it's your first event. So that's very exciting. Even for journalists, you know, even like, people would want to know, how did it go? Like, it's your first, yeah, it's another part of your business. So, and also, you know, I'm just thinking because I saw Kayla and Nick's presentation about, you know, how to train a cat travel or how to like harness train them.
this is also storytelling, and this is very newsworthy to be like, hey, if you come to Space Cats, there's going to be Nick and Kayla from Netflix, from that Netflix show, and they're going to teach you how to travel with your cat. That is very newsworthy because people are going to care about that, and they're going to want, even people who don't have cats, I think they will want to see, like, can a cat really be trained? I never knew that. So, yeah, just think about, like, why would anyone care and what makes your event newsworthy?
All of that.
Yeah. So we just have to take a quick break for our sponsors, and then we'll be back.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We're back, and Lisa, you're doing quite good on social media. I've seen that you have you have really great engagement and you have a bit of following. And so I was just wondering if you can give some small tips for small businesses.
I would love to give some small tips. I think you have to, well, one thing I've learned personally is to not let the algorithm get inside your head.
Yeah, I like that.
A lot of artists, I do a lot of illustrator coaching and mentoring. And one thing I help them with is building their social media presence. And one thing I'm always saying to them is, like, educate yourself and be aware of the algorithm because it does change often. Don't become so obsessed that it actually gets in the way of your progress. Instead, focus on, like you said about the press releases, focus on the storytelling, focus on who your followers are, like, who do you want your followers to be, and create a feed or a series of posts and content, I guess you can call it, that caters to them, right? It's not about me. It's about my followers. I've got three types of followers. And knowing your audience, I think, is really crucial as well. So I have the art directors and the buyers where I work in art licensing and I'm designing for products. Mm-hmm. That or illustrating children's books. My second audience I have are cat lovers who are my customers who buy my prints and my artwork. And then my third audience are fellow illustrators who are looking to grow their own art-based business. And so when I'm creating posts, and now, of course, I've got a little bit in there about Space Cats, which really is just an extension of everything else I do. I would say that goes to the customer cat lover audience as opposed to the other two. So when I'm creating posts, whether it's a reel, a behind the scenes, or I'm just showing a bit of the process, or perhaps I'm sharing tips for somebody, for an illustrator, or I'm creating a new piece of art, anything where I can ask questions to my audience helps engagement. Right. So if I've got two pieces of art, it's the same image, but perhaps I can't decide on colors, I'll put it to my audience and ask them to weigh in, whether it's a poll in my stories or whether it's a caption in the post. And I ask people to drop a comment, which one do you prefer, red or blue? Or, you know, do you have any other suggestions? Are you team blue? Are you team red? Like things like this. And then I might tie in, you know, the most popular print color, like whatever wins the vote. I might then do a little giveaway or something of that print just as a thank you. But I think it's important to know who your audience is. Create those posts with your audience in mind, because it's about how, like, especially if you have products to sell, right? You don't go in with that hard sell right off the bat. Like we already just talked about that. But just sharing some kind of background story or something, and then letting them know how this print might benefit them. A lot of my customers would be like, oh my gosh, my cat does that all the time. And they relate. So therefore, they buy the print because it reminds them of their own cat or the cat's behavior and things like that. So that's one thing, is knowing your audience and being able to create content.
I feel like from what you're saying, you're not only posting to show something, you're actually trying to connect with your audience, which is really important. It's connection.
Absolutely. It's all about building relationships. And so the engagement isn't just about whether or not they're liking my post or they're commenting, but it's also about how I respond to that too, right?
Yeah.
So I'll reply to just about every comment I can. I'll always shoot DMs to people, but then I'll also go on other people's accounts and let them know how much I thought that was a great post or a print or some artwork. Or, you know, I think that you've got to put as much out as what you want to come back in. And so it's an ongoing conversation. And I think consistency is another thing. So
100%.
Even posting once a day or once every other day, keep consistent and keep doing all the interactions and things, because it does help. It does make a difference. And I know this because back in October, with the whole hurricane situation, I took about a month off. I didn't post for a month. I just had to step back. I had to just take a break, brain-wise, you know, whatever.
Fair enough.
And my reach dropped and, you know, everything went quiet. But the moment I woke up one morning, I was like, okay, I'm ready to get back to it. I think sometimes you can burn out. And so, you know, you just got to give yourself a little bit of a break. I came back to it, started back up again, was posting, felt fresh, felt renewed and reinvigorated, and reached is back up there again. So it proved itself. Like, when you're consistent, when you show up and you show up for your audiences, that they will respond. And that's what you look for. That's engagement and that's the interactions. And I love that. I absolutely love that.
How important do you think it is that people have a face behind an account? So you are the face behind your own account. People know who they're talking to. And I know, for example, I'm talking about rescues, because we usually get that from rescues. They're like, well, this account is not about me, right? It's about the cats. But I always tell them, yeah, but it's still about you because you're rescuing the cats. And, you know, some people, even small businesses, have a hard time showing themselves or promote themselves as the person behind the brand or the rescue. What would you tell them?
I would say that people are inspired by people, right? That when I see somebody, I see some behind the scenes footage of, and maybe it's not you, the owner of the business, but perhaps you're highlighting one of your team members, and that this person selflessly gets up at 4 a.m. to be at the rescue at 5 a.m. to do all the litter cleaning and to feed the cats and wash the bowls. And perhaps it's just a little behind the scenes footage of them at work, and you're singing their praises as one of your team members. And that, you know, to me, as I'm watching this, and I think 100% of my For You page is just all cats and cat rescue anyway.
I know, same.
And it's like, I love watching that and I just think it's so admirable to see people taking time out of their own lives for the sake of another cause or a bigger cause. And I find that inspiring, because it leaves me feeling like, well, what else can I do to give back to the community? What else can I do to help? Maybe I can create a new print. Oh, and I can donate some money to this rescue or that rescue. I think it's important, but it's a personal choice. I just think that the human connection, we all crave that. And we're in such a digital world. Faceless accounts, to me, I just don't have that connection with, as much. I mean, I'm not talking about like when you're looking at pictures of cats in rescues necessarily, but I love to see who's doing the work behind the scenes and how those teams come together to make that operation happen. So, yeah, I don't know. I personally think it's important, but everyone's different.
No, I agree with you. I completely, and that's my advice every time we have a rescue on the show and they're like, how do I get my engagement higher? And I'm like, well, do you talk to your audience? Or like, well, we just show the cats up for adoption. And I'm like, yeah, but do they know who you are? No. I'm like, well, maybe just show a bit of who you are, you know? Even if you're not actually showing your face, maybe just show like part of your body doing things. So at least people see, you know, human hands or, you know, somebody walking or something. So
definitely. Or even just, from over the shoulder, somebody playing with the cat to, you know, like, or like you say, grooming or feeding or
yeah.
Giving some love, like some chin
scratches. Exactly. We're not all
we're not all camera ready like Sterling or Nathan. We don't all have that, you know, capacity to be so comfortable in front of the camera, but we can all show something so people can relate to. So really good advice. Okay, well, we're coming to the end of the show. So do you have any other questions? I am an open book for you.
Okay, well, I did have some social media questions, you know, because I'd love to for you to explain just kind of the crossover between social media and PR, right? Like social media, I mean, the word social is supposed to be the giveaway and the idea of this socials connections and things like that. But, you know, we all see, whether it's Instagram or TikTok or something, that people are pushing products, people are pushing events, people are pushing business and things like that. But I'm curious as to how you approach or view the connection or the crossover with social media and PR work.
Yeah. So, you know, PR is all about public relations. So it's about your own, you know, image, your own reputation, and how you can get that out there, basically. And that's how, like, we connect with journalists, or, you know, we ask them to promote our business or our events. So social media is definitely a tool for PR, and we use it quite a bit to, well, there's two things. So first of all, I'd say social media is the best way for you to shape your brand's reputation, because you can do it in your own words. So there's no journalist to, you know, take words out of your mouth and saying them in another context. This is really the place where you can tell your own story. So storytelling 100%, and just, yeah, be genuine on social media so people know who you are. There's also the place where you can actually build emotional connections with your audience. So whereas, you know, maybe they've seen you on an interview or they've seen an article of you, well, then they can keep that emotional connection and keep follow that one on your social media. And then it's also a great tool to contact journalists. You know, you can connect with them on Twitter, X, now, but even Instagram, you can follow them and, you know, just like reply to their stories, or like if they share an article, just like be involved with them, and you will have higher chances to get coverage. And then the last point where we use social media a lot is in influencer marketing. So influencer help, you know, widen your audience and, you know, spread the word about whatever you're promoting. And they do that on social media. So yeah, social media is getting bigger and bigger in PR. It didn't used to. I know Mary still has a bit of a hard time with social media because she's like the older PR and I'm like the newer PR. And so I am doing all that part, and I'm telling her, no, like, we need to use social media. We need to use influencer marketing. This is the new way people get their information, right? Some people don't even read the newspaper, or they don't watch TV anymore, but they will watch those small clips on TikTok. So yeah, social media is a new PR.
How do you go about, you know, you've mentioned the influencer social media, like, can you expand on that a little bit? Like, what do you mean by that? And then how would a small business, say somebody like me,
yep,
who maybe has a small budget, like, how does that work? Is it always paid? Is it like, I would love to know a little bit more about that.
Yeah, definitely. It's not always paid. It really depends on the influencers. So you have a few different kinds of influencers, right? You have like macro influencers, big influencers, medium influencers. So there's a few range. When talking with small businesses, I always advise to reach out to the micro influencers. So maybe under 15 to 20,000 followers, those are the people you need to target, because they're the people who might not charge you or charge you a very small amount, which you can afford. And I think with influencer, it's the same. You need to build a relationship. So it's, you know, maybe you follow one and you really like what they're doing. You really love their cat. Maybe for you, they have a black cat that look exactly like Nigel. So you're like, oh my God, we should partner, because, you know, that would be incredible. And because usually those black cat influencers have a lot of black cat followers, which is, you right, know, you're some of your target audience. So I would definitely reach out to these people and, you know, be very genuine about my approach. I think if you see, for example, that an influencer is really into rescuing and is helping shelters, maybe mention, hey, you know, I'm also helping shelters in this way, and I rescue, and I think our values align, so I would love to collaborate with you. I think it's really important to find
genuine influencers, because that's where you'll get the most results. You know, some influencers are only there to get paid to make content, and you know, it's fine, but that might not be the ones you want to reach out to. You might want to reach out to the ones who might not do a lot of collabs, maybe the ones who really choose specific brands that really align with their values. And so that means their audience actually really trusts them. And I think that's where you want to go. But yeah, there's a lot of people who would do a giveaway for free. A lot of influencers will do giveaway for free. If you offer to send them, you know, a package of prints and be like, could you just maybe like once a week when you're filming your apartment and you have a print in your apartment, can you just like film it? I think, yeah, the most useful campaign we've seen is when people don't actually promote the product, but they more like do natural content and the content, like the product appears in the background. And that's when people are like, oh my God, I love that print. Where did you get it? So yeah, whereas if an influencer just posts like, you know, they just take a picture of your prints on the table and be like, hey, this is this and I got it there. People might be interested, but they will only see it once and then they'll be like, yeah, it's a paid collab anyway. Whereas gotcha. If it's really genuine and, you know, they just see it all the time in the background, that's when people are like, wait, actually, I really like that print.
It's smart. I like that.
Yeah. I know. I talked a lot about that with Kayla. About the harnesses, and you know, her product is amazing. I mean, I'm a huge fan of the harnesses. I use it every day on my cat. And that's what she was saying. She was like, when people really like our product and we're also very genuine, we will send a harness to an influencer and then people will ask that influencer, where did you get that harness? It looks amazing. You know, it's when the audience actually asks the influencer, that's when you're winning because you don't even have to tell them.
All right. I got to make a ton of notes now.
Well, good thing you can listen to this podcast over and over again once it's published.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, guys. This is a wrap for this show. And we're so excited to be doing this for all of you out there. So, Lisa, if you want to just tell people where they can find you, that would be amazing.
Oh, yes, of course. So if you want to find me on Instagram, it is instagram.com/LisaWorks, LeezaWorks, all one word. And LisaWorks.com. And then obviously, if you're interested in next year's Space Cats, that's also on Instagram as Space Cats Florida, all one word.
Yay, stay tuned because that will happen. And I hope I can make it this time.
Yes, I'm very excited. I think next week we're going to start talking about dates. So.
Amazing. Well, we'll look out for that. And for all of you out there who are making life better for the animals, if you've got a question you want us to answer, reach out to us on Instagram or Facebook under the Whisker Media, and we'll try to answer it in a future podcast episode. And as we always say, bark loud and purr smart.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.